People in the house of the Lord this morning. For those of you who have not met me yet, I'm Pastor Jason Owens. I am the new pastor here at First Baptist, and we are so happy to have you with us. But at this time, let us take our attention to our prayers and praises. First, we offer up praise because our brother Jeff is out of the hospital this week and is back with us. You're not supposed to miss my first Sunday, brother. But it is so good to see you. I'm so glad that the issue has been resolved. So we just praise his holy name this morning. And each one of us should be able to lift up our voices and praise our Heavenly Father. Because we have air in our lungs, we have another day to serve him, we are in the house of the Lord, and we get to worship this morning. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. So we continue to look at our prayer requests. We're praying for healing. We continue to pray for your healing, Brother Jeff, for Bob, Ken, and Mary. For those who are currently fighting cancer, including Jerry and Roger, for those who are lost and in need of the Lord, we lift them up. We all know individuals in our friend groups and our family that have not made a profession of Christ. And so let us continue to lift them up by name and pray that the Holy Spirit would work in a mighty and powerful way and that they would come to salvation. We continue to lift up the Chapman family this morning as they mourn the loss of Ken. While it is always difficult to lose a loved one, in Ken's sake, our situation, we have hope. Because one day, each and every one of us are going to get to worship our Heavenly Father with Ken, who is already walking streets of gold, who doesn't have any more pain or suffering, and now has a glorified body. So we give our Heavenly Father praise for that this morning. We continue to pray for love and care for Isaac and Ileana. We continue to lift up those folks in Florida who just went through Hurricane Milton, those in North Carolina that are still affected by Hurricane Helene. And then we continue to lift up our local, state, and national elections. And this morning, I have an additional prayer request that's not listed. It's a personal prayer request. This week, I got a phone call from my father. And he let me know that he has to have open heart surgery. He's got to either have a triple or quadruple bypass. That'll come up on the 21st or 22nd of October. So please keep the Reverend James Owens in your prayers. He's in good spirits and he is not stressed out about this because he knows that our Heavenly Father holds him securely in his hands. But we pray for a miracle that they might not have to crack his chest. Amen. But let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to intercede on behalf of those on our prayer list. But first, we offer up praises for our answered prayer. Because answered prayer shows us your goodness, Heavenly Father. And so we just praise your holy name this morning. We give you all glory, honor, because you alone are worthy. We thank you for an opportunity to enter into your house with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips. Father, this is and should be our most favorite time of the week. The opportunity to be in your presence, to worship you. Father, we continue to lift up those who are dealing with illnesses. You are the great physician, and we ask that you work in a mighty and powerful way, that you would perform miracles in their lives, that you would leave doctors and nurses stunned. But Father, we lift up all these things, and we pray in accordance with your will. Your word tells us that we have not because we ask not, and this morning we come before you, and we are asking for miracles to be worked, for healing to be done, for bodies to be knit back together, cancer to be removed. And we pray for this, not for our sake, but that we may give you all glory and honor and praise. Father, this morning we lift up our church. I thank you for each and every individual who has come here this morning to praise you, to seek your face. I ask for your hand of protection and blessing upon each and every one of us. I pray that the words of the message that you've laid on my heart will change lives and move hearts this morning. Father, we lift up our elections that are coming up. For some, this is a very stressful time, but we know that you are in this. That you have already ordained who our leaders are going to be. And we put our faith and our trust in you this morning. Because we know, no matter who rules us here on earth, that you are still sovereign, you are still Elohim, you are sitting on your throne today, you are still in control of each and everything that happens. So again, we praise your holy name. Father, we lift up our missionaries, our first responders, and our military. We give you thanks for these men and women who have stepped up and said, yes, I will serve. For our missionaries, we continue to pray that you would make their ministries fruitful, that lives would be changed, the gospel would be shared, that many would come to know your Son as their Savior. We ask for your hand of protection upon them. We also ask for your hand of protection upon our military and our first responders, those who keep us safe in our communities and abroad. We also lift up their families and ask that you give them peace and comfort while their loved ones do this work. And Father, this morning we come before you praising your holy name, and we ask all these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So are we excited yet? I'm a little excited. Because today the title of my sermon is The Changeless Christ. We find ourselves living in a changing world. And anyone who has lived through the last 75 years has seen more change and dramatic changes than were made in all the centuries before. Just think of all the changes that have happened since the 1950s. The thought of a jet plane flying through the air at 600 or more miles per hour was beyond our wildest dreams. Just a few years ago, there was no such thing as a television or a cell phone carrying a picture into your living room of something that happened in real time on the other side of the world. Prior to watching man walk on the moon after a few days of space travel, or a team of men and women living in a space station orbiting the Earth for 6 months at a time, well, these events were simply in the realm of science fiction. So mankind is changing. The world is changing. Our customs are changing. Ever since the pandemic, we have seen more changes happen in a short 2-year period than we have ever seen in the entirety of the human experience, and they're not always for the betterment of man. But there is one thing that never changes, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 states, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, get excited, church. Y'all could do better. So we see that Jesus is eternally the same in his holiness, his love, grace, and mercy. His character remains steadfast and unshaken by time or circumstance. What he was when he walked on this earth, full of compassion, power, and truth, well, he is still that today, and he will always be forever. Amen. Y'all can still get a little more excited. We are talking about our changeless Christ this morning. Should make you want to jump up and shout and say, amen, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
There we go. His love for humanity is as deep and transformative now as it was when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, and when he gave his life for us. In an ever-changing world, Jesus stands as our solid rock. His promises never fade, his grace never diminishes, and his mercy knows no limits. He is our constant hope and our unchanging Savior. But this morning, let us examine some things that do change. Nature changes. We are living in a beautiful world that was created by God. One of the sections of the world is made beautiful by the mountains, another by the plains. another by the sea, and even the desert has its own beauty. But none of it is static. It's always changing. Just think about it. We never see the same cloud twice, and the skies are always different. For some of us this week, we got to see the aurora borealis in the night sky. In the spring, the leaves turn green. In the summers, everything is in full bloom. In the autumn, our leaves turn yellow, brown, and gold. And in the winter, the leaves fall off and the limbs are bare. Mountains, and he guides the streams. He tints the sunsets and gives music to the babbling brook and the roar to the mighty ocean. It is a beautiful world, but it is always changing. Our fashions and customs change. If you sit down and look at pictures from the past, you might laugh at our hairstyles and our fashion. I know I do when I see my pictures in grade school. Bushy blonde hair. 80s were not kind to me. An automobile of the 1930 vintage is nothing like the sleek cars of today. Even a house built 50 years ago is not the same as a house built today. Once people traveled over dirt trails in horse-drawn carts, never dreaming of the high-speed travel options that we now have. The world and all that is in it is always changing. Nations change. The great nations of world history, the Egypt of the pharaohs, the Rome of the Caesars, Assyria and Babylon, well, they have all disappeared. A map of Europe today is drastically changed from a map of 100 years ago. New nations are constantly emerging in Africa and Asia. Rulers are being deposed and others take their place. They rise to power only to last a short time. But there is one ruler who never changes and he will never be dethroned, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Science changes. Billions of dollars are being spent on research, and scientists are always discovering new truths every day. A textbook of 10 years ago is out of date today. Yet some men pin their faith in ever-changing science instead of a changeless God. Pluto is no longer considered a planet. Medical science changes. Once people were bled as a cure for certain diseases, and they used leeches. But nothing has changed more than the treatments and the surgeries now performed by our physicians. Families change. A daughter or a son marries and leaves the old home place to live in a distant state or a foreign country. Divorce often breaks up a family. Not just young couples, but couples that have lived together for 40 or 50 years separate and go their different ways. Death breaks up families. When the family reunion is held each year, there are empty places because somebody has passed on. But it is good to know that those who have trusted in Jesus have gone to a home that never changes. Amen?
Amen.
Our friends change. You live in a certain place for a few years and you make some very close friends. You visit their home and they often visit your home, and then they take a job in another state. For many months, emails fly back and forth between you, and you occasionally miss them so much that you pick up the phone and you call them. But as the months go by, the emails become fewer and fewer. You make new friends, and the old friends are practically forgotten. But there is a friend who never changes. He is Jesus. The friend who will never move away, who will always be closer than a brother. So now let us look at Jesus, the one who never changes. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 tell us this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In a changing world, we can thank God for a Savior who never changes. Amen? He was, is, and always will be the same as he was in eternity past. And this we know, he never changes in his character. See, we as people are sometimes good, but we're more than often bad. But Jesus is always good. He has all the virtues of the best men without any of their vices. And just like Pilate states in John chapter 18, verse 38, we too can say, I find in him no fault at all. For 2,000 years, men have been trying to destroy his character. Yet they are gone, and he continues to stand like the rock of Gibraltar. The French philosopher and author of the 18th century, Voltaire, said, in 100 years, the name of Christ will be forever forgotten. And today, Christ lives on. And the name of Voltaire is known only by a few. Every attempt to destroy the character of Christ has failed. Amen? His critics go down to death while he lives on. But Jesus does not live in temples of wood and stone. Instead, he lives in the hearts of every man, woman, and child who has ever trusted him and acknowledged him as Savior. Therefore, our changeless Christ never changes in his love. His love is a great love. Close your eyes and picture him on the cross. Watch him as he lays his life down for those who had rebelled against him and broken his laws. Why did he do it? No one forced him to give his life away. He did it because he so loved us. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. But Christ's love was so great that he laid his life down for those who were not his friends. Praise God for that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 states, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. This verse reveals the radical and unconditional love of God. And the changeless love of God is not based on our worthiness or perfection, but on his grace. Even when we were lost and unworthy of saving, God chose to act. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up or become righteous. He sent Christ to die for us in our brokenness. And this act of sacrifice is the ultimate demonstration of love. One that calls us to respond with gratitude, humility, and a deeper trust in God's grace. For you see, the cross stands as a permanent reminder of God's love pursues us, even at our lowest, and his grace is sufficient to transform us. Our changeless Christ's love is a universal love. On the cross, he was loving those who loved him, but he was also loving those who hated him and brought about his death. He loved those who laid the stripes upon his back, those who spat in his face, those who plucked his beard off his face, and those who nailed him to the cross. Today, you can find all kinds of men in the world, the rich, the poor, the great, the small, the educated, and the ignorant. But you will never find a person that Jesus does not love. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus explains the greatest commandments we are to follow. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As Christians, children of the Most High, we are called to emulate our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And to emulate the love of Christ is to embody selflessness, compassion, and sacrifice in our everyday lives. You see, Jesus' love was not just an emotion, but it was an action. He cared for the outcast, he forgave his enemies, and he ultimately laid down his life for all. His love was unconditional and impartial, extending to both the righteous and the sinner. And as followers of Christ, we are called to mirror that same love in our relationships, communities, and even with those who are hard to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I've shared this with some people, but I'll share it with you this morning. When I was going through seminary, these are the verses that stuck with me. And they say, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Without love, without the love of Christ, and emulating that in our own lives, it does not matter what we do, church, if we don't love the people that we're ministering to. Emulating Christ's love means stepping beyond what is comfortable, forgiving when it's hard, and serving others with humility. It's a love that costs something but reflects the very heart of God. And in doing so, we become a living testimony of God's love in the world, just as Christ's love on the cross testifies to God's love for us. And because the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, never changes, then our love for others must never change. Our changeless Christ's love is a pardoning love. Listen to his words in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pardon me. "And they divided his garments and cast lots." This was in the hour of his death. Staring at the religious leaders that had rejected him and the Roman soldiers who had nailed him to his cross. And if we go back to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and read these words, the Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, this is the heart of our gracious God. He pardons and saves all who come to him in faith. His mercy is extended to every soul, no matter the weight or depth of their sin. And through his grace, he promises to make our stained hearts clean and pure, just as the snow covers the earth in pure white beauty. So this morning, I have an important question for you. After people become Christians, do they continue to sin? The answer to that question is yes, and many times over. But God does not abandon us in our weaknesses. And there's a remedy for those who have sinned and long to be restored to fellowship with him, and we find it in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which tells us this: "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God's faithfulness is unwavering. When we confess our sins and turn back to Him with repentant hearts, He graciously forgives us and cleanses us, restoring our fellowship with Him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away." This is the invitation that is extended to us daily, to turn away from sin and return to God, knowing that He is ready and waiting to wipe away every transgression and renew us once again. His grace is sufficient, His forgiveness is sure, and His love is unwavering. Our changeless Christ never changes in power. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" And He still has that power, and there's nothing like it. He has the power to save. And we all know the story. One day a man was walking down the Damascus Road. He was rushing toward the city to find some Christians so he might kill them. It was his greatest desire to stamp out Christianity and blot out the name of Jesus from the face of the earth. But not only could Christ save such a man, but He also transformed him. He used His power to save that man and made him one of the greatest Christians and preachers the world has ever known, the Apostle Paul. But like the destroyer Saul, our souls were stuck in sin. But God's grace that came through Jesus Christ, well, it came to lift us up and to make us new creatures in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And what He has changed, He has the power to keep. And when He saves us, He never lets us go. Hallelujah. And someday He will present us spotless before the throne of God. He saves us from sin past, sin present, and sin future. He never lets us go. And when Jesus puts His hand around us, God puts His hand over us. There are not enough forces on earth or powers in heaven or devils in hell to snatch you away from Him. Amen? And thank God that not only does He save us, but that He keeps us. And there are several great passages of Scripture that illustrate this point. The first is John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." If we say that a person can be lost after he has been genuinely saved, then we are saying that Satan is stronger than God and is able to snatch us out of God's keeping, but that can never happen. The second is John chapter 5, verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed away from death into life." If we have everlasting life, that means that we live forever. And that's a life that begins at your profession of faith in Christ and goes on for all eternity. And a third passage is in Romans chapter 8. Verses 37 through 39. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Somebody get excited. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. We are free from judgment because Christ died for us. And through his sacrifice, we have been clothed in his righteousness. We are free from defeat because Christ lives in us through his Spirit, empowering us to share in his victorious life. We are free from discouragement because Christ is coming again for us. Amen?
Amen.
And when he does, we will partake in his eternal glory. We are free from fear because Christ intercedes for us. And nothing can ever separate us from his boundless love. Christ is our intercessor, standing at the right hand of God. Even though Satan may stand before God and accuse us and tell God how bad we are, how sinful we are, we have a Savior who intercedes and says, paid in full. Amen?
Amen.
Our changeless Christ has the power to help you daily. In every season of life, Jesus is your helper. Do you believe that this morning? He's there in sickness, when trouble strikes, and when sorrow breaks your heart. Christ is always with you. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 reminds us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." There are moments when no one can help but Jesus, and he is always available. No matter what you face, his presence is constant and unfailing. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 assures us, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen? And we know the story of when Jesus was asleep on a ship one night. In the fierce storm, it arose, and his disciples were terribly frightened. And finally, they went to Jesus and woke him up saying, "Do you not care if we perish?" And immediately, he got up and he rebuked the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And today, when the storms of life beat on us, we can still call on him, and he will give us peace. He will go with us everywhere through life. And when we come to the end of this life, he will still be there. Hallelujah. And this is because our changeless Christ never changes in his purpose. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Church, I want you to hide this verse in your hearts. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." That was the purpose of Christ coming to earth, to seek and to save those of us who were lost in our sins. Amen?
Amen.
His purpose is to save men. He came to be the bridge between God and man. He came to die for the lost, that through his death they may live forever. And he bridged the gap, and he made a way for all of us when he bled his life away on the cross of Calvary. Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." It's true that Jesus came into the world to reveal to us what God is like and to set the example for us and to inspire us to live holy lives and to love and to serve one another. But the main purpose of his coming was to die so that we could be saved. His purpose was also to use us in the salvation of others. Do you believe that this morning? Well, somebody is. Church, do we believe that we are to be used by Christ for the salvation of others? As a church, we have a vision and a mission that says helping others find and follow Jesus. It's nice to see it on the wall, but are we putting it into practice? You say that you're doing the Lord's work, but this is not true unless the ultimate goal and the end of everything that you do is the salvation of others. The signs of the time show us that the day of the Lord is upon us, even though we have no idea when the clouds will separate and our Savior appears in the sky. But when that happens, it'll be too late. We have to be serious about reaching the lost today. Every opportunity to share the gospel, we must take it. Amen? In John chapter 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." It was His purpose for us to tell people everywhere about Him, about what He did for us and what He can do for them. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He meant he wanted Christ to live again in him. Do we have that same desire that when people see us, they see Christ in us? They wonder what's different about us. When Paul said those words, he said that we are not our own, but that we belong to Christ. Our hands, our feet, our brains, our hearts are to be His forever and are to be used for Him always. Today, the average Christian comes to church when they feel like it. They give a little money occasionally, and they may even do a little service. But the question is, what are they doing to see the others come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? This morning I ask, what are you doing? What is our church doing? It is not enough to be hearers of the word. We also must be doers. Amen?
Amen.
And today, you and I can be a vital part in this glorious work that is reaching others in the name of Jesus Christ. But to do it, we must give the best of what we have in life, love, service, and substance. In other words, we must commit 100% of all that we are and all that we have to this great Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He has come to the earth to bridge the gap between us poor sinners and You, our great God. Father, it's my prayer today that our hearts will be burdened to share this hope, this changeless Christ with others. And in doing so, may help snatch souls from the fiery pits of hell. And this morning, we lift up all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, there may be some here that have some sin you haven't dealt with in your life. And if that's the case, I invite you to come to the altar and lay that down at the feet of our Savior. For someone, you might not have ever made a profession. You've never declared Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life. And today, I encourage you not to wait another moment longer. Run to the Father, because His love is so deep and great. And this morning, if you're not sure of your eternal destination, do not leave this church with any doubt in your heart. I'm here to answer any questions that you have. I'm here to pray for you, to help intercede on your behalf. So let us stand as we sing in worship to our great and changeless Christ.